Whenever people say, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? I'm musing about 10 things at once. It's kind of like, that's what this is. This is taking stock of where you're at. I feel like it's a great, you know, people are always saying. Hello, and welcome back to the Hard Feelings Podcast. This is, of course, my mental health podcast where I talk about things like anxiety and depression and period anxiety and health-related anxiety and all different kinds of anxiety and depression and big feelings that are hard to process, aka hard feelings. I guess that was a little redundant. That was a new ramble. New ramble alert. New ramble just dropped. Wow. I'm so excited for today's episode because it's a topic that I really needed. We're post-eclipse and don't act like it didn't affect you. Don't try to tell me that it had zero effect on you whatsoever because I felt very affected by the eclipse. I'm only laughing because I'm trying to look jokey so that people don't make fun of me, but I did feel affected by the eclipse. Okay, my shins hurt all day. And for what? And for why? Like, my shins never hurt. My boyfriend tried to say it's because I wear my platform Crocs everywhere, but he's wrong about that. I've also been shocking people a lot. Like, I keep accidentally shocking him and like various doors and surfaces and stuff. I feel like I'm very statically charged right now. Anyway, today's episode is about giving yourself credit because, dude, you deserve so much more credit than you give yourself. Like, you are the person, I know you're the person telling everybody else, good job, and you're cheering them on and you're bragging to all your friends about how great of a job your other friend or your family member, whoever the person you love did, like, you're their biggest cheerleader. But who's gonna be your biggest cheerleader? Because it should be you. I mean, I shouldn't say should, you know, maybe it should. I'm gonna double down on that. I do think you should be your own biggest cheerleader because when you're always seeking everybody else's approval, that's never going to be fulfilling. It's never going to feel satisfying. But if you have your own approval, and I'm not saying I fully have this down, okay? But if you have that self-satisfaction of knowing that, like, you are doing the absolute best that you can do and you are being better every day, like, that is so satisfying. It's so satisfying, dude. So I felt really struck by this topic this week. I was journaling a lot about how I just am so focused, you know, when we want to do all of this like inner work and talking about mental health and trying to figure out and process these big hard feelings, it can feel really heavy a lot of the time and it can feel like the road to, I don't want to say road to recovery, but like the road to processing those hard feelings and accepting those hard feelings. Like, that can feel like a really long, treacherous road. So I think it's great to take stock of where you're at and how far you've already come. Mental health is such a journey, you know? I know that sounds cheesy, but like, if your end destination is to be mentally better, like to get rid of your anxiety or depression and just like make it go away, make all those hard feelings go away, I think that's a fruitless effort. I think maybe you would get to a point where you maybe feel like you have a better grip on it, but at the end of the day, I don't think you learn to eliminate your anxiety. You learn to accept it and learn ways to handle it that are better and learn new ways of thinking. And for me, something that really eases my anxiety is giving myself some credit. Looking back on the way I was 1 year ago, 5 years ago, I am a girly who loves 2020 versus 2024 trend. I love all those TikTok trends that are like, show your 2019 self and show your 2024 self. Because for me, it's not about, you know, the physical appearance. I mean, I am a makeup girly, so I do like to see how my makeup skills are improved. But for me, it's more so about my face. I don't know. It's like there's a self-assuredness now that I see in my photos that when I look at photos of my younger self, I don't see. And I don't necessarily think like I look sad in those photos. It's just like, it's hard to describe. Okay, so I always pull up this picture of 13-year-old me. I've got her taped to my mirror back there. And I think people don't really get it. Maybe think it's a little weird. And I get it, but it makes sense to me because when I look at this photo, I can see the lack of self-assurance. I can see the lack of self-confidence. Like, I remember doing that. This hairstyle was my last ditch effort hairstyle. If all of the other hairstyles were making me feel ugly, like, I already straightened my hair here. I started straightening my hair nonstop in seventh grade because the first time I did it, I got so many compliments and I was like, well, clearly I'm only pretty with straight hair. But this side braid situation with a clip, I know that was my last ditch effort hairstyle, and I know that's like what I did when I really wasn't liking the way I was looking. So like I can see like the slight little twinge of, you know, sadness and lack of self-assuredness in that photo. And when I look at photos of myself now, I'm like, that's awesome. And all of those years in between, like I know like 13 to 29, that's a big difference. But even just looking at photos of myself from a few years ago, I'm like, wow, I see a self-assuredness in myself now that I did not see as much of then. So looking at photos is a great way to, you know, give yourself credit from where you've come. But I really, you guys know me, I'm the number one advocate for journaling. I know I'm a broken record about journaling, dude, but I really think every once in a while, you gotta take stock of where you're at. Last year, I did a whole thing like every single month of the year. I did all of my wins for the previous month, and then I did all of my intentions for the following month. I didn't wanna call them goals, I called them intentions. And that worked pretty well. I liked doing that last year. I'm not doing it this year because it felt a little too forced for me. I'm a big advocate for not forced journaling, not making yourself do journaling every day if you're like me and have ADHD and can only do things when you feel so passionate and just overflowing with wanting to do those things. That's me with journaling. Like if I just force myself to sit down every day and write something, like I did that my senior year of college. I journaled over almost every single day, and most days they were just like quick writing things, but like I don't do that now. I only journal when I feel so inclined to journal, and I gotta tell you, since the eclipse, it's been a lot. But I've been journaling about how different I feel from the previous year, and I think it's just so easy to get frustrated with yourself for not being where you want to be in your mental health journey, especially if you're a perfectionist like me, you are your own worst critic. It is so hard to focus on celebrating where you're at. You know, it's like every time we accomplish something, every time we reach one of our goals, we just immediately have to start thinking about the next thing. And that sucks. I did that for years, especially working on social media where the numbers and analytics, I know there's a lot of jobs where analytics are really important, but when you have a job that like analytics that are somewhat beyond your control, that can make you constantly want to move the goal line for yourself. It's like every time you achieve that number that you think is going to make you feel good, suddenly you're now increasing that. Like that can no longer be acceptable anymore. That has to just be like a regular thing, and then you have to overachieve. And it's just like the pressure to overachieve is so painful. I don't like it at all. I'm really trying to get out of it. But it's moments like that that I try to remind myself of my past self and how excited she would be for me. 2020 Gio, I've been thinking a lot about her lately because now it's been 4 years since the pandemic, and I'm thinking about what an absolute anxious mess I was in 2020 and how excited my past self, who had like just started making YouTube videos consistently and just starting to dream about doing things that I'm doing now, who had a series on YouTube called Makeup and Mental Health where she would try to talk about mental health topics, but then she gave up on it because she didn't think it was worth talking about. No, that's not true. She gave up on it because she didn't feel mentally well. That's really what happened. I started that series right before the pandemic hit, and I made a couple episodes talking about how I was dealing with that anxiety, and then my anxiety became so unmanageable that I was like, what am I gonna say? What am I gonna say to them? But I am not doing well at all. I'm worried about dying literally all the time. So that's when I stopped doing that series. But anyway, I think of that 2020 version of myself and I'm like, oh man, I just wanna go give her a hug. You know, I wish I'm sending her a hug back in time. I know that sounds really cheesy, but that's very comforting to me. When I'm going through a hard time, I try to think about my future self like giving me a hug and telling me it's gonna be okay. Because I do that. I send it back to my past self. I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't remember why I started talking about that. And that is the chaos of the Hard Feelings podcast. It's what keeps people coming back. It's a part of the vibe. That's why you're here. It's why I'm here. I am the chaos maestro of the podcast, and you are my chaos orchestra. Let's go. So I am challenging you this week, dude. I really think you should journal. I know I said journal when you want, so like if you don't feel inclined to journal about it right now, just muse about it, you know? There is so much value in musing. Whenever people say, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? I'm musing. I'm musing about 10 things at once. At least muse about how different you are than you were last year. How different you are than you were a few years ago. I'm not talking negative stuff. I feel like that should be implied, but in case it's not, there's no negativity allowed in here, and I am not a toxic positivity girly, okay? You gotta feel all your dang feelings. But for this specific exercise, focus on ways that you've grown. You know, ways that you've grown as a person. I don't care what bad things, or I don't even want to call them bad things, I don't care what mistakes or hard lessons you've had to learn in that time, like, I know that you've grown. Even if there was a hard lesson you had to learn, that helped you grow, did it not? Like, there are so many ways that we have grown, even in the last year. I think you gotta take stock of them. It's a great way to reframe those things that you think of as mistakes that are actually just redirections. Oh, I saw a really good quote about that recently. Dude, what was it? It was something about being like, your life will completely change when you stop viewing there being a right and wrong answer and just think of everything as direction and redirection. And I was like, oh shoot, don't view anything as like the wrong decision, because it's all just gonna be redirection. Like, you cannot miss your destiny, dude. I like thinking of it that way as somebody who is constantly worried about not living up to my full potential of what I could possibly live up to. I really like the idea of, as long as I'm doing me, being authentically myself, doing what feels good, sharing what feels good to me, then, you know, I'd should get me in the right direction. Of course, I gotta be brave, and I gotta make some tough decisions, and I'll probably make some wrong choices, or choices that lead to hard lessons, but I gotta make choices. You gotta make decisions in order to take those steps. That's the real hard lesson in there. You're not gonna move anywhere unless you do something. So, that's hard. None of the last like 5 minutes was in my notes. I kind of just went off there, but I hope that you've learned something. I hope that this has inspired you to give yourself some more credit, think about your past self and if she might need a hug right now. What version of your past self can you send a little hug to? Because I know I am really self-critical and often like think of my past self with disdain for decisions that she made that I would never make as a 29-year-old woman, but lately I'm trying to have more compassion for my younger self and know that she does not have all of the knowledge that I have now. She learned the hard lessons so that I don't have to make those same poor decisions again, you know? What version of your past self could use a hug today? I think you ought to send it to them. I don't know, sometimes I think you gotta look at your life and see you at different ages or at different parts in your life as just like different characters, you know? They're all you, they're all different versions of you, but instead of just trying to like leave the past in the past, I think it's also okay to have some compassion for the past. I like to feel that connection between past, present, and future. It's kind of like, that's what this is. This is taking stock of where you're at. I feel like it's a great, you know, people are always saying, I'm always hearing people say that the key to mindfulness and the key to like being at peace and feeling good is to be present. And I think that's such a hard thing. And I think taking stock of where you're at and how much you've grown is a good way to do that, because it's not harping on the past. It's not holding on to the past. It's just saying like, my past self would be so proud of me. So I'm gonna be proud of myself now too. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's sound the alarm. That's the piece of advice I want you to walk away with today. Again, not a mental health professional, not a doctor, not a psychiatrist, not a therapist, nothing of that kind. Just an antsy girl who clearly has some type of neurodivergence going on and trying to make a podcast. Now, sharing my mental health experience with you, sharing the things that have given me peace lately. I don't know, I'm feeling good this week. I'm feeling good about the eclipse. I think it can't hurt to feel good about the eclipse. I think it can only feel, I didn't stare at the sun for too long. My vision's been fine. I have only felt better after the eclipse. So I hope you do too. Do let me know. Oh shoot, we gotta do a mental health bop of the week. If I'm being honest with you, I've been listening to nothing but Cowboy Carter, Beyonce's new country album. I think it is flawless. I think it is back to back, just up and down, a perfect album. And I don't know if there's a song that's particularly a mental health bop. Bodyguard has been a mental health bop for me because it makes me want to shake my booty. It makes me want to dance. It makes me want to move around and somatic movement, somatic therapy. Dancing's been feeling really good for me lately. I have been dancing for fun and not for exercise a lot lately. Like, I just like have been listening. Oh, Chapel Roan's new song too. Good Luck Babe, that's a mental health bop. That is a mental health bop because it makes me want to jump up and down. I don't know, she put some type of substance in that music that when it goes in my ears, I just like feel euphoric. I have like sparkles bursting out of my ears. That song is so good. Chapel Roan is so good. Beyonce's new album is so good. There's so much good music out right now, you guys. Oh my gosh, I can't wait. Taylor Swift's new album is coming. Is that gonna be next week. Will you guys not? Oh no, I think there's a couple weeks. Prepare for the menace to society I'm gonna be when the Tortured Poets Department album comes out. Thank you guys so much for listening to a very rambly, very chaotic episode of the Hard Feelings Podcast. I appreciate you listening, whether it's your first episode you're listening to or your 35th episode. That's right, I got 35 other episodes. So would this be your 36th? If you listened to all of them, I'm not good at math. Although it was my best section on the SATs, funnily enough. Thank you for listening to the end of the podcast. If you wanna know what makeup is on my face, I always list it down below. Go ahead and follow me on Instagram if you want to see more makeup and mental health stuff. And I will talk to you next Friday with a new episode. Bye, take care of yourself.